This podcast is brought to you by Dynapack.
Welcome to part one of the Asphalt Pro Magazine podcast mini-series for mental health wellness and suicide prevention. I'm magazine editor Sandy Lender and your host for this mini-series. In this three-part podcast, we'll explore ideas for incorporating a mental health wellness component in your safety program. Asphalt Pro is honored to expand the conversation around this important topic and to bring Ajax Paving's Vince Haefeli into the podcast for that purpose. Vince Haefeli has over 38 years in the highway construction industry. He's been leading a team of nearly 500 employees as president of Ajax Paving Industries of Florida for the past 4 years, although his diverse background includes positions like field quality control and inspection and project manager. At the time of this recording, he's working toward his Doctorate of Business Administration degree to further his research and training skills related to suicide in the construction industry. As a consultant and speaker advocate, he works with individuals and organizations to create open discussions around suicide prevention and mental health. I encourage you to follow him on LinkedIn because Vince has new information, speaking engagements, and updates on mental health wellness information posted on his page frequently. Let's begin part two of this three-part podcast looking at the concept of building a caring culture as it relates to workforce development. You've talked about mental health first aid. Could you give our audience your definition of mental health first aid and the level of importance you place on it?
Well, I guess we have physical first aid, right? If you get cut, they give you a Band-Aid, or if you twist your ankle, maybe you have to go to a quick care center. Mental health first aid kind of the same way, only you can't physically see it, right? So it's about opening up the conversation and finding out what's going on in someone's mind. I mean, we actually have sent employees through mental health first aid training. They're certified. It's a 2-year national program. You can get trained to be a mental health first aid responder. Prior to November, we didn't have any in our company. And in November, we did 11 people. This month, we've done 12 more people. And we have a list of other people waiting to take the class. What the mental health first aid training does, some owners are afraid that I don't want people asking questions because you're going to get me sued.
Right.
So this helps the members on the team understand what to ask and how to ask. It trains people that have been certified. Here's the resources nationally, here's the resources regionally, here's what our company has as far as resources. So if you come to them, I think what people need to understand first about mental health is everyone doesn't need to go and be medicated, right? Sometimes in mental health, you just need someone to talk to. And sometimes someone to talk to may just be a friend. And the friend in our company may be that mental health first aid responder. So we have people from labor to me and in between. So we have plant foremen that have been certified. So if I'm another plant foreman, I've got someone on my level that I can go talk to if need be. Or if you want to talk to the president, you can talk to the president. So it teaches them, again, how to protect the company, which I'm not worried about. I've said that if anybody wants to sue me for trying to save someone's life, then sue me. Do what you got to do. So it has built a peer-to-peer network internally to where they can help each other. It's powerful. We've had one gentleman in our company that has really taken the lead and run on it because I feel like my role and the leader in our company went to kick it off. And when I say kick it off, I mean back to day one, talking in front of 400 people. Now my goal is to be able to build the network to where I can fade into the back, not go away, but they know that, hey, this is important. HR is involved in it, the president's involved in it, the plant foremen are involved in it. So that, again, it's about kind of changing the culture in the company. And I can't be the one that lead the charge every day because one day I'll be gone and then it'll end. I've talked to companies in my interview that said, where are you at on mental health? And they said, we were phenomenal. And then he left. And when he left, we should probably start doing it again. So that's the importance of building the network. That's how the mental health first aid program helps.
You kind of touched on this by saying, you know, everyone from like the paving foreman to the labor person to, you know, the company president, you know, can have that mental health first aid training. So I kind of want to have you talk about how that, you know, every crew member can be a leader in that aspect. I guess I want to ask you, which members of the crew would you recommend sending to mental health first aid training? How do you pick and choose who you would send?
Well, first off, I think anyone in any organization on any given day in any given situation can be a leader.
Nice.
It doesn't have to be just the foreman. It can be the loot guy. Yep. It can be the guy at Amazon packaging boxes, assuming they have that type of culture. We didn't go out and handpick anyone. We said we have this program, and if you would like to be part of it, we will get you through the program. We have done programs in the past where we have said, you, but the problem is two of those three yous don't want anything to do with it, right? So it dies. So we really have the people that initially got into it, two ladies that have participated in an annual suicide walk for the last 3 or 4 years. Those two helped me organize the State of Florida walk. Another gentleman in there, his father was lost to suicide. Another gentleman in there, through our employee assistance program, we helped him get help. And he did need medication. His life's back in balance. So the people that initially got in there were people that had, I don't know if vested interest is the right word, but they had situations in their life that they had gone through, and they wanted to help others not go through the struggle they went through. And now the second group of people that are getting in there, again, we didn't go handpick any. We just said, hey, we're having this program. They want to be involved. Will we ever have 100% of the company? Probably not. Will we have 50%? I don't, maybe. I would never go out and say we need to have a paving foreman in each area, we need to have a grade foreman in each area. You need to have the people in those areas that want to do it for the right reason.
One of the topics that comes up in the mental health wellness conversation is that of the financial costs to the employer. And I'm trying to think of a tasteful way to ask this question.
Well, it doesn't have to be tasteful. Because I've got an answer that will...
All right. but how do we convince the numbers-based CEO or the numbers-based HR rep that we need to implement mental health first aid training, or we need to implement mental health wellness in our safety plans? I mean, how do we go to that person and say, all right, yes, there's a financial cost to this. We need to do it.
What's the financial cost when the guy today does something crazy on the job and injures someone? The cost to do this is minimal. Hey, I'm not saying everyone has to send someone to mental health first aid training. You can go to the Construction Industry Alliance for Suicide Prevention. You can download Toolbox for free. You can sign on to their site to support this for free. They take donations, and they would appreciate donation probably. But to get the tool that you need to do this, the cost is very, very minimal. And I understand that the international companies of the world are different than the little guy in my area in Tampa, Florida, that in the morning he's running the paver, and then the evening he's bidding jobs, right? Yeah. It's literally a mom and pop shop. And I understand it. But I think the better question is how can you not afford to do this? The question is not how can you afford to do this? Because the younger generation that's coming into our workforce want to work in industries that respect their opinions and want to take care of them. This is the next level of wanting to take care of them. A lot of these younger people struggled through COVID, and they've struggled through emotional issues there. And even older people, but particularly the younger generation, mental health is a topic that they're open to discussing easily. They don't run away from it the way you would perceive the baby boomers to do. But I would tell you, even the baby boomers don't run away from it once you tell them that it's okay to talk about it. Because that's the men that typically sit with me and we cry together when we talk about things. So the hardest part about doing this is starting it. And there are plenty of people that you can ask. You can go Google mental health and construction. Websites will pop up. You just got to take the first step. And then I would also tell people to do what we did. And I don't know that we did it perfect, but we said we're going to go slow. Nobody, and particularly strong-willed men in construction, want to have anything jammed down their throat, right? There's enough coming from regulations and inspectors and hitting you every day. So we said, hey, in year one, we're going to do 4 toolbox talks. Once a quarter, we're going to talk about this in the field. And then 3/4 of the way into the year, we did the mental health thing. I talked about it in January. I talked about it again in July at our mid-year safety meeting. So it's not something you have to do every day. To begin with, you just got to take the first step. And then, hey, if you're going to do the quarterly toolbox talk, then you got to remember at the end of the quarter to do it again, right? It's easy to forget and let things go. So to me, it's not the question of how can I afford to do this, and the question of how can I afford not to do it if I want to continue to hire people going into the future.
Yeah, and you just mentioned, you know, that there are some of those, you know, the baby boomer guys, that the men who might not be so quick to share their feelings, but once you tell them it's okay, I mean, they will open up, they will share, they will talk and discuss, you know, a mental health topic. They will do so.
Well, absolutely. Yeah.
It's been a pleasure talking with Vince Haefeli today. I hope everyone listening in has picked up something they can use in their companies to expand the conversation around mental health wellness and suicide prevention. I want to encourage you again to follow Vince on LinkedIn. You can find his company online at www.ajaxpaving.com or on Facebook at Ajax Paving Industries of Florida. Be sure to visit theasphaltpro.com/suicideprevention to read and sign his Suicide in Construction Awareness Proclamation. If you or a colleague needs immediate help, the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline has licensed counselors standing by at all times to speak with you. Please call or text 988. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for your willingness to share this podcast and conversation with others.